And if you have no goals, you will probably accomplish nothing. And so that's an old principle. That's the old way of looking at things. Most people live kind of, aimless, really. Aimless kind of a life today. Well, let's see what's going to take place today. And I realize that the Bible does say that you're supposed to take no thought of tomorrow. But it doesn't say that you shouldn't take no thought for today. And it's okay to have long-term plans as long as your long-term plans don't forget God, amen? And if you say, I'm going to do something tomorrow or next week or when I grow up, those things should be said sometimes words just jump out of my mouth. They should be done in accordance with God's will. In other words, you should say, if God wills, I'm going to do this or be that. You know, when I was a boy, I said, when I grow up, and I made up my mind in the sixth grade, when I grow up, I'm going to be a Marine. And so I did. But I should have said if it was God's will, and if I would have been more concerned with God's will, perhaps I would have started preaching earlier and did things differently. And we're not here today to regret our past or any such thing as that. But what I'm trying to say is God has some specific things that he wants you to do. And it ought to be those things that we are pressing toward, those things that we're looking at as our goals. And so we could say, I don't think the Lord would mind at all if you said, well, tomorrow I'm going to try to be more long-suffering than I am today. So a lot of times, you know, we take verses like that, what he said, take no thought for tomorrow, and we use that as an excuse not to plan on godly things tomorrow. Well, the things that he was talking about was going here or going there and getting gain and such as that. Those are the things you're not supposed to take thought of as far as tomorrow's concerned. But I would firmly say that the Lord is interested in you being a better Christian, a better witness, a better preacher, a better deacon, whatever the case may be, tomorrow. And so there's nothing wrong. And the best way I can think of to be a better whatever you want to be, Christian, deacon, pastor, witness, Sunday school teacher, whatever it is you want to be better at tomorrow, get started on working on it today. And I believe you'll reach your goals. Amen. You may not realize all of your dreams as far as the specifics go, but you can do a great job for the Lord. You know, at one point in time when I first started becoming a pastor, I said, well, one day I'm going to pastor a church with 500 people in it. Well, I haven't reached that goal, and I don't know if I ever will, but as long as I'm the pastor of a church where people believe the Bible, I'll be happy with 50 people that show up on Sunday night and Wednesday night once in a while. Amen. So you just take what you can get. Amen. But you set goals and you work for them. And I think that the quality of things is probably much better to seek after than the quantity of things. And so we'll look at these things and see what Paul prayed for the people. Let's start reading in verse number 9. And it says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. That's a great passage of Scripture. Lord, we do thank you tonight for your goodness and your grace. And Lord, we're gathered together here tonight to receive instruction from your word. I pray that you would help me to preach in such a way that the people would receive this instruction and apply it to their lives. And I pray, oh God, you'd help us to strive for these things. And Lord, if we'll do that, then a lot of the other visual things that people seek after will come through that, Lord. And I pray that you would help us and strengthen us to attain to these things. And we'll thank you for all that you do. In Jesus Christ's name, we pray it. Amen. And so let me say this before we start preaching about things that God wants you to get and God would like you to have. It's always nice to look at the things you've already got. Amen. They say some people miss the forest for the trees. Amen. And that's a pretty good saying, because there are some people like that. They don't take time to realize what they have because they're looking at things that they need to have, need to get, want to get, desire to have. You know, some of us, you know, we think we don't have the finest house, but we do have a house. Amen. Some of you don't have all the best Christian characteristics that you should have, but boy, you do have some things that are worth more than gold. Amen. And so he says in verse 12, he says, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. I'm glad to be just a partaker. Amen. I get to, this is something I get to do. I get to be a part of the church. I get to be, listen, I've got an inheritance that's waiting in heaven for me safe. I'm not talking about a reward. I'm not talking about something that I'm earning. I'm talking about an inheritance, something that I'm receiving from my Father just because He's my Father and He's going to hand it off to me. Amen. We've got a great inheritance. We've been, you say, well, you've got to be worthy to get all this stuff. No, the Bible says Jesus made us meet. God has made us able to be a partaker of this inheritance. And you say, well, see, we work for crowns. We work for Christian characteristics. We work for Christian attainment down here. We want to walk worthy of the vocation. We want to be good preachers and good witnesses. And we're trying to get a crown for this and a crown for that. Well, there is no tellings what God has in store for us. There's scripture that talks about, I hath not seen, but the Bible, see, has revealed those things to us. The Word of God has revealed those things that the eye hasn't seen, the things. But listen, there's some, I know there is more to heaven than crowns and streets of gold. God has given us, God has made us able through the righteousness of His Son, through the death, burial, and resurrection of His Son. He's made us able to go up there and receive our inheritance, just to have things passed down to us from God our Father. Boy, I don't know what it could be, but I know there's some wonderful things in heaven that people never think about. I want you to think for just a minute about how Elijah got to heaven. A chariot, a fiery chariot come down. What kind of a place must it be where chariots of fire going up and down the street? I mean, I don't think that there's just one set of fiery horses in heaven. I never really, you know, I never give that much thought. But that fiery chariot come down from heaven, God didn't just make one, I'm sure, to go down and pick up Elijah in. Now, if I was standing out in the yard and a chariot come down out of the sky and it's all flamed up, and we're not talking about a 57 Chevelle with flames on the side. I don't think that's the way he said it. I mean, if this horse and this chariot has burst into flames and it pulls up in front of me and says, get on board, I'll wait for the bus to heaven. Amen. I don't want to go that way. I'm not looking to step into no kind of fire, any kind of fire. But Elijah got right in, went on to heaven. There must be all kinds of stuff like that up there. See a 12-point buck walking down the hillside in heaven, and it's on fire, flames of fire, horse flames, flaming horses and flaming. I don't know what, but that's just wild to imagine that. That's wild to imagine it. Where did that thing come from? And how big of a fleet of those chariots does God have? I mean, some of you get entertained by watching Ben-Hur going around the Roman Colosseum in a old wore out bay horse, an old wore out quarter horse that they've hired from some back lot of the movie studio, and they're wearing that horse out, and this old broken down piece of a junk, it probably took them 3 days to get the shot because the wheels probably kept falling off of it or whatever the case may be. And here God has horses that are on fire. And chariots that are on fire. I mean, how you gonna beat something like that in battle? I mean, just all I'm trying to do is trying to stir your mind up to think, man, there are some things in heaven that we just can't conceive. We haven't even thought about some of it, and some of it's just going to be so amazing. And the death, burial, resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, the imputed righteousness of our God has made us able. I mean, you could say this: you've already won. You've already won the game. You have all, listen, you're fighting to keep the door from falling out of your house and the floors falling out of it and trying to keep the water out. And you're thinking about this great house that you might could build or you might could buy from the bank. And up in heaven, there's a mansion sitting there. It's already got your name on it. The title's been paid by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're struggling and saving and doing everything we can to just get a little piece of dirt here on this earth, when God's going to hand you the keys to a mansion that you ain't even going to have to lock. I mean, the key is just to say, hey, this baby's mine. Yeah. Then you can hang it on the key shelf and forget about it, because ain't no thieves going to break through and steal up there. Security, boy, the security that comes with the Lord is outstanding. Amen. But what I'm saying is, these things are already yours. And then he says, and those are heavenly things, I'm sure. But he says, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. Something you already have. You already have the power to quit smoking your cigarettes. You already have the power to stop watching pornography. I'm not saying you have stopped. I'm not saying you will stop. But I am saying you have the power to overcome it. People, listen, there are lost people all over this planet right now scurrying as fast as they can to find some guru, to find some specialist, to find some man that'll help them quit smoking, that'll hypnotize them or put them through shock therapy so that they can quit worrying, so that they can quit stressing, so that they can quit smoking, so that they can quit taking cocaine. And their lives is a chaotic race trying to find a cure. But the Bible says we that are saved, we that are washed in the blood, already have been delivered from the power of darkness. It didn't say he delivered you from darkness. He delivered you from the power of darkness. And when you get to the point where you want to quit something, when you get dirt dog mad at some stuff, you can quit it. You can quit it. The problem is, most people can't quit because they ain't done getting beat up by it yet. Amen. When folks get to the point where they say, I've had enough of this. And listen, a lot of people, when they get addicted to something down here, it's the holding power of it is their perception that the thing is good, their perception that the thing is needful. But I'll tell you what, I quit chewing tobacco, and I think the biggest part of it is that I had the power to quit all the time because the Lord delivered me from the power of darkness. I believe tobacco has the power of darkness on it. I believe alcohol has the power of darkness. They call it spirits already. I believe there's a spiritual thing. Now listen, there are things that grows naturally and they've got chemicals and stuff in it that your body can get addicted to. But I believe there's a spirit. I believe a man can get addicted to things that are not chemical in nature. Some men addicted to looking at themselves in the mirror. Where's the chemical bond for that? That's pride. I think that a lot of things are spiritual, and there might be some chemical bonding there, but there's a lot of it spiritual. But the Lord said, listen, when he saved your soul, he delivered you from the powers of darkness. Amen. And I believe the best way for you to get rid of something is just to get mad at it and think, hey, this thing is killing me. It's when you ride by the store and it calls your name. I can remember chewing tobacco and just ride by the store and didn't happen to have none. Just a nervousness back there. I need to just go in there and get some of that. Just need to have it in my pocket. And you know what? One, looking at it like it's a good thing, like it's an enjoyable thing. But I decided one time, I said, you know what? This thing's killing me, and I don't reckon I like anybody killing me. Just got mad at it. I mean, who's the conspirator that dreamed this thing up and cut it up real fine, put it in this little can to get me addicted. You know, that's just like an old heroin addict. He takes his product, or not a heroin addict, a heroin dealer. He'll take up a little product. He knows people are going to get addicted on it. He'll wrap it up and he'll take it out and start passing it out, hoping to get somebody addicted. Well, that's what the federal government's doing when they get behind stuff like this. That's what the corner grocery store's doing when they put those packages on the shelf up there. They're saying, here, buy this from us. You're going to get addicted to it, and we're going to get your money, and they don't care one way or another. That's what you ought to tell the clerk down at the store next week while you're in there, saying, look at all these drugs y'all trying to get people addicted on. I mean, just put them under conviction. They put you under conviction for not using their brand. Hey, use our brand. It's cool. Use our brand. It's the most satisfying. I never saw anything satisfying, and I've never been a smoker, but I've never thought that you could get any satisfaction by sucking smoke into your lungs. Just don't. They're just not built for that. When I was a boy, I seen all the grown ups smoking, and I thought I might try to smoke when I grew up, but one of the things good about the Marine Corps, they put me in the gas chamber. And after that, I said, I ain't never getting nothing else down in my lungs ever again. No, sir. Just not going to do it. Amen. Just not going to do it. But they are just like a bunch of dope dealers out there trying to get you hooked on that thing. And you say, well, I've got to have that. And it sure does satisfy. And you've come a long way, baby. And it ain't doing nothing but kill you. And I've tried everything. Well, you ain't tried everything. You ain't tried hating it. You just got to change your image of the thing. Oh, this thing's killing me. You could do that with your television. I could do that with television. All of us could do a lot of things. We could say, no, this thing's just killing my time. It's killing my marriage. It's killing just whatever it's doing to you. Just get mad at it. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. You say, well, you think that'd help me quit? You've already got the power to quit. Because the Lord, listen, who hath... I don't know about you, and I'm not an English scholar, but when I see the word hath, and the word delivered is there too, but hath, that's past tense. You already been delivered from it. You know, it's like the old story about, you know, people used to, they still do. They quote the verse that said the truth will set you free. No. That's not what the verse says. The truth will make you free. The truth will come right over to your little bird cage and open the door, but it ain't going to reach in there and grab you off the stoop and pull you out. You got to walk out the door on your own. Amen. If you want to get rid of some of these vices and some of these addictions and some of the powers that the world has over you, then you're going to have to fly the coop, as they say. Amen. You're going to have to get out of there. Amen. You got the power to do it because God's already delivered you from it. Amen. And then he says this, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. I keep saying it, but it keeps repeating itself. You've already won. Amen. Now they've got a lot of scholars, and I read you one of the drastic mistakes of the scholars who try to correct your King James Bible. I told you about this morning, and what, you know about what all that junk they were saying about the passage we was reading. But listen here, one of the arguments against the King James Bible is there can't be a translation that's better than the originals. There's no way about that. Well, listen, I'm a translation, and I'm better than the original. So you do what you will with that. Hey, before I was saved, I was lost and undone. Now that I'm saved, I'm found. And I'm, what's the opposite of undone? Done. I'm done, amen. I mean, like I said, I've already won. I mean, I've won the battle. I've won the victory. I was lost. I was blind. I was wretched. I was poor. I was miserable. All these things. Now the Lord's translated me into his kingdom. Now we're kings and we're priests. Amen. We're God's sons. Listen, you can have all the titles in the world, deacon, bishop, pastor, all these things you can work for and attain, vice president, president. You can work for any title that you want to, but the best title on earth that there is son. Son, God's son, amen. I mean, if you was looking for, this won't go for everybody because some of you got sense and you wouldn't care, but if you was looking for power, would you rather be the plumber's son or the governor's son? Now, if you was looking for power, would you want to be the plumber's son or the governor's son? Well, of course, you'd want to be the governor's son. Well, if we're concerned with the power of God, we're the Son of God. That's a pretty good place to be in. Amen. It says, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin. All your sins is forgive. I mean, they're gone. They're just gone. We talked to you a little bit this morning about the regret. And I think really you ought to keep just enough regret just so you don't make the same mistakes again. But your sins are forgiven. They're washed. They're clean. God said He's put them away. He's put them as far as the east is from the west. They are gone. They are gone. They are gone. They are gone. They are not coming back. They are not. They'll haunt you in the middle of the night sometimes, try to make you feel bad. But your sins are forgiven. You wake up in the middle of the night saying, boy, God must really be upset with me because I did that. No, God was really upset with you when you done it, but when He forgave you, He forgot about it. Amen. Amen. And boy, I tell you what, if some people, and I'm guilty of this myself, I'll be honest with you, I am guilty of this myself, and I probably will never get over it. But when somebody messes up real bad, we got a tendency to get over their shoulder and watch them, make sure they don't. But God don't do that. We do that. Sometimes it's wise to do that. I heard of a fellow, and I've been seeing him all over the place. Bible-believing Christians. This guy started work. I mean, Facebook and internet websites and all this stuff about start having singers come in. I know of this fella, and he cheated on his wife with one of the girls in the youth group, and they got together and got married after that. And I don't believe in that. I don't believe in that. Listen, I don't care how good you sing. I don't care how good you sound. I mean, if I got around that fella, I'd be right over his shoulder looking. If he got near my wife, I'd be right over there. You got no business right here. No, sir. Right. You say, why? Because I don't trust it. Yeah, right. But you know what? If that fella asked God to forgive him of that stuff that he done, then the Lord forgave it and wiped it right away. See, a lot of times you don't think about it, but God's forgiveness is infinite. If God forgives you, it's forgiven. God is so much higher and so much holier than us that when He looks at a sinner like I just described, and He looks at a sinner that just stole a piece of candy, it's both sin. It's all sin. It's not little white lies and egregious lies. It's all lies. It's all sin. And when God can forgive one as easy as the other. Some things have more consequences. The Bible says you offend one of the little ones. Oh, He'll get you for that. That little one's a little more defenseless than a big one is. So it's not that the Lord doesn't have any ability to see the scale of sin. It's just that sin is sin. Amen. Sin is sin. And if God forgives you, you're forgiven. Amen. Amen. That's a wonderful thing too. Amen. In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Amen. That's some things we already got. But there's some things that we need after that. Amen. Some things that we need after that. And verse number 9, we'll start looking at these things. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. So Paul has prayed a prayer. And this is the desire. This is what Paul is praying for. He says that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will. But he don't stop right there. That you be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom. You know, one of the biggest problems with religion is they take a verse out of context, or they'll take a verse and make it mean something that it don't mean, so that people go off and begin to follow this as a different religion or a separate religion. The Lord doesn't just want you to know what the Bible says. He wants you to have some spiritual wisdom while you're reading it. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. God wants you to handle the word of God correctly and handle it with wisdom. Now, if you came in here on Sunday morning, you've never been to church before, and you said, well, preacher, I'm lost, and I feel real bad about all my sins and everything. Preacher, what could I do? If I turned over to Genesis chapter 6 and Genesis chapter 7, and I said, what you need to do is, bless God, go home and start building you an ark and start getting ready for the judgment of God, while you would say, what? Well, wait a minute. That's foolish, brother. It is foolish. Because, see, we rightly divide. We don't need an ark to be saved. Amen. We got the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Bible has to be rightly divided. Some things that God told those folks in the Old Testament, He's not going to tell you to do. Come in next Sunday morning with your little lamb tied to a leash behind you and say, we're going to sacrifice this lamb because the Bible says it. You wouldn't believe how many people justify that. They'll say a belief. They'll talk about a doctrine that they believe. Well, that's what the Bible says, ain't it? Well, just because the Bible says a thing don't mean you can take it out of a context and apply it just anywhere you want to. I mean, listen, the Lord Jesus Christ was the Lamb of God. We don't need no more little lambs. No more blood needs to be shed for you to be saved. Amen. A lot of Christians, they call themselves Christians, and I hope they're Christians, but they're still sweating blood trying to get in contact with God. When Jesus has already shed all the blood that it'll ever take for you to get in touch with Him. You believe in Him, you trust in Him for your salvation, then just stop sweating blood and enter in before the throne of grace boldly and say, God, I'm here to talk. Let's talk. Yeah. Amen. He'll talk with you. You don't need to sacrifice nothing. Isn't that wonderful? God done made all the sacrifices. That's a wonderful thing right there. So He don't want you just to know the knowledge of His will. He wants you to have some wisdom and some spiritual understanding about that thing. Amen. That's what God's will. So next time, listen, this is something Paul wanted you to have. This is something God wants you to have. So the next time you go to pick up your Bible on a daily basis, whatever time you've set aside to read your Bible, when you sit down with it, just close your eyes for a minute and say, Lord, I pray now you just wash me and cleanse me and help me and give me the understanding of what I'm about to read. And I thank you for what you do. I'll submit to what you say. Start reading, boy, God will start opening your eyes to some things. Amen. You say, why? Because that's God's will for you. That's what God wants for you. And then look at verse number 11. Strengthen with all might according to His glorious power unto the priesthood and unto the pastorship and unto the bishophood. Is that what it says? See, a lot of people think just that way. They think they got the power of God because they're a preacher. And they think they got the power of God because they sing in the choir. They're the tenor or they're the whatever. They think that they got the power of God because they've got the talent to sing or the talent to play the piano. But listen, that is not the basis for the power of God. And that is not the, listen, you can have the power of God while you preach. You can have the power of God while you sing. Preaching is not the ultimate expression of God's power. Here He says, I want you to be strengthened with all might according to His glorious power. And He says, what? Unto all patience and long-suffering. I mean, you have the power of God manifest in your life when you can wait like God waited. The Bible said God is not willing that any should perish. But the Bible says He's long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. He wants folks to be, and boy, He has long patience for it. I mean, I think if I sent my son to die on the cross for lost sinners and they spit at him and they talk bad about him and they persecuted his children for 2,000 years, I think I would have come after about 80 years or 90 years. If it was my son and my son hung on the cross for you and you batted your eye at him twice, I believe I'd hit you with a lightning bolt. Yeah. But then again, that goes back to what I was saying a while ago. We hold grudges. God is better able to handle stuff like that. We are quick to take revenge. We are quick to get even. We are quick to mash other people if they get in our way. But God said, here's the power of God. He said, here's the power of God manifest in your life that you can just put up with something just a little bit longer. Be just a little bit more longer. Well, I'm tired of the way things are going around here. Just wait a little bit, okay? Get, you know, the super spiritual in church. I just don't know how long I can put up with the rest of these Christians. Would you please wait for us? I mean, we will catch up to you someday. I mean, we might not ever be as good a Christian as you are, but would you please wait for us? Just wait for us. I used to tell that to my brother, my big brother. We'd play football and around. We'd be walking down to the football field at the Mallory High School, and we would sneak in there. And, boy, that's a great place to play football. They'd done 100 yards. And when I was a boy, that was so big, we only used about 40 yards or 50 yards. Amen. But we'd sneak in there and play football. And on the way down there, my brother, he'd get way ahead of me. I'd, hey, wait for me. You know, that's the way it is for little brothers and big brothers. But I tell you this, that's the way a lot of Christians are. You know, there's always that one guy that's super spiritual. He's way out in front of the rest. And the rest of us poor Christians just back here, wait for us, please. But then, the big brother, oh, I ain't got time to hang around with that kid. And big brother Christian, you know, all these people are so unspiritual, I think I'll just quit this church and go somewhere. Well, I don't know if I'd take that attitude. I mean, if you're in a church teaching false doctrine or something like that, I understand. But listen, you better be careful when you're so quick to judge. Now, listen, judge righteous judgment. Judge the things that are right. If things are right and if things are wrong, they have there's consequences for both of those things. But when other people believe the book and other people are washed in the blood and other people believe right now, but their flesh has power over them, more power over them than supposedly there is over you, you better pray for them. You better be long-suffering with them. Strengthened with all might according to His glorious power. The glorious power of God, the great strength that comes from God, will allow you to be more patient. It'll allow you to be more long-suffering. And it's not just patience and long-suffering. Patience and long-suffering, and have a good time with it. With joyfulness, it says. What a pleasure it is to come in. That's what Paul said to the Romans. He said, for I long to see you. It was a joy for him. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established. It was Paul's great joy just to mix in with a bunch of people that believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Here, let me teach you something. Let me show you something. Let me give you something that'll help you out down the road. Every once in a while, he had to pull out the switch and give them a switching, because he said, to the Corinthians, he said, I made you sorry with the letter. He said, I'm not sorry about that. But I tell you what, it's a great joy. Sometimes, you know what he said? You know what he said to the Philippians? He said, I'm going to write this to you again, but he said, these things are not grievous to me, but for you they're necessary. For you they're needful. He said, beware of dogs. There's some things you need to stay away from. He said, it's not grievous for me to do it, but it's good for you to. Paul, it was a joy for Paul. Whether he had to rebuke or whether he had to instruct, it didn't make any difference. It was good. Paul said, this is what God left me here. Preachers are quitting the ministry left and right because these people just won't do what I say. These people are so bad. Listen, bad people is why God died on the cross. Bad people is why God called preachers to preach. If there wasn't no bad people, wouldn't be no preachers needed. That's what we're in the ministry for. Christianity is not Camp Meeting Central. Christianity, and I've got nothing against camp meetings, but God didn't just leave us here to have camp meetings and dinner on the grounds. God left us here to reclaim lost souls. It's reclamation. It's a ministry of rescue. It's a ministry of reclamation. That's what it is. So you're going to have some long suffering. But the prize, see, the thing you're suffering long for, the thing you're having patience for, is that day when that stubborn Baptist on the back row finally walks down and says, oh, I'm tired of fighting the Holy Spirit. When that lost sinner finally comes and visits from your neighborhood and comes down and gets saved and says, boy, I'm tired of running from God. That's what makes things joyful. Amen. Amen. So he says, strengthen with all might according to his glorious power. Unto all patience. That's what we ought to be. We ought to get on our knees and say, Lord, help me to be a little bit more patient. Help me to be a little bit more long-suffering, and show me. There must be something that brings joy. And I believe that's the outlook. The Bible says about Jesus, he said, who for the joy that was set before him. He despised the cross. He despised all that. But there was something beyond the cross. And that was the reclamation of souls. It was the rescue of lost souls. So you say, Lord, help me to see some of that. Amen. And then he says this, finally, giving thanks unto the Father. Giving thanks unto the Father. We ought to be more thankful. And I started out, I kind of went backwards on you, but I started out the sermon talking about the things that you already have. There's some things that you ought to set as concrete goals for your life. I've already talked to you about them here. But last of all, you ought to be thanking God for what you are. Thank God I'm saved. Thank God I'm saved. Thank God I'm saved. Thank God I'm not a Jehovah's Witness. and say, well, I think Jehovah's Witness, I mean, everybody has a right. No, in God's eyes, you ain't got a right to be a Jehovah's Witness. You just don't have a right to do it. You got a right to do it in America. Evidently, you got a right to do that in a lot of other countries in the world. But God, when he gets down to the judgment, he's not going to look at the American Constitution for 1 second. He's not going to consider it. He's not going to think about it. I heard that there's some American judges now who are basing some of their decisions in American courts on what international law thinks and what... Listen, when we get to heaven, God is not going to give two cares at all about what anybody else's rules and regulations say. He's going to look at his book and say, Jehovah's Witness. That's too bad. He's going to look at his book and he's going to say, Roman Catholic, huh? That's too bad. The Lord going to look around and say, there ain't no Roman Catholics up here. Well, my mother raised me as a Baptist. Whoop. No Baptists up here. Just Christians. Just Christians. Just Christians up here. Amen. So I'm glad to be a Christian. I'm glad to be washed in the blood. If not, I'd go to hell. If it wasn't for God's grace, I'd go to hell for the things I've thought in the last week. I mean, see, a lot of people say they won't never get that. Like we were preaching this morning, the person that's forgiven much is going to love much. He's going to worship while everybody else is reclined at supper. The man that's been forgiven is going to be shouting hallelujah, praise the Lord. I mean, I think one of the best illustrations of that is Ruth's daddy. I mean, all you got to do is just act like you're going to sing something. He'll get up, amen, amen. I was... You could say, if somebody in a restaurant were to say, I once was blind, he would be up shouting and hollering. The fellow would be like, no, I really used to be blind. See, but listen, he's not going to miss an opportunity. He thought they was going to sing Amazing Grace. He's up on his chair with his feet and his green beans. Hey, praise God. You say, why? He's forgiven much. Forgiven much. Amen. And I'm glad to be around that crowd. I don't have to impress nobody. I don't have to wear a certain color shirt. Don't have to have my hair cut a certain way. All I got to do is be forgiven. Be glad about it. Yeah. Take the advantages that God... I'm thankful. Thankful. I'm thankful about that. Thank God I didn't go to church this morning and get down in front of some clown while he flipped his beads and all this junk over me. That's a curse. The Bible says cursed is every man that hangs on a cross. And they're doing all this cross stuff over you. Listen, there's nothing wrong with this. Don't get me wrong. Some people, but listen, the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ was a curse. I don't wear curses on my bracelets. You know, I don't wear bracelets either. I seen a fellow, we know him and we like him real good, but her and her husband, they posted a picture on Facebook with matching. They took pictures of the little hands with matching bracelets. And I wanted to be mean. I wanted to say, who's the girl with the hairy arms? Y'all got the matching bracelets. But I didn't do it. I didn't do it. That boy already thinks I'm his enemy, but I ain't. I like him. I love them both. But that's just good fun. That's good fun. And so, you know, but if I did wear a bracelet, it wouldn't have no cross on it. I don't want to hang on a cross. I don't want a cross hanging on me. You say, preacher, I got a cross. It's okay. Listen, we're not throwing any stones tonight, but I'm glad I didn't have to hang on the cross. I'm glad I don't have to go down and kiss a cross's foot in the St. Peter's Basilica. Listen, all I got to do is come to Jesus and say, Lord, got some stuff I want to talk to you about today. The Bible says he's my mediator. I don't need a priest wearing a dress. I don't need that. Amen. And just the fact a man got a dress on is a little bit strange to me. Back where I'm from, the fellas wear pants and the ladies wear dresses. Right. Fellas don't wear any dress. I've never seen the men's dress department at JCPenney's yet. Well, I seen a wedding and all these fellas was in these Scottish kilts. And I said, look at them dresses. No, them's kilts. No, them's dresses. Yeah. Them is dresses right there. That's what them are. And boy, I mean, a man standing there in a kilt with his hairy legs and a... I heard a woman one time look at a man. She said, that man's got pretty legs. I was like... That's weird. I don't like, listen, no. But anyway, well, I said all that to say this. I'm glad I'm not stuck in a religion where the men wear dresses. They do that stuff on purpose. Have you seen the Pope when he dresses up to go out and he's got this stuff on, this hat that he wears and all this stuff? And I seen the last thing I seen from the Pope is they closed the doors of mercy. The Vatican has the doors of mercy, and they've been open for the last little while, and now the Pope has closed the door. I got news for you. Only God closes the doors of mercy. Amen. And the Lord said, look here, I got the keys. And they're wide open. As of right now, they're wide open. Listen, the Vatican could burn to the ground and the doors of mercy would still be open. But here's this dunce with this dunce hat on and a woman's dress, all in white, all like he's about to get married. A man all in white with the dress like he's about to get married. And he's standing here in front of this door mumbling words he don't even understand. Ain't no man from South America knows no Latin. Not enough to say five words put together, I can tell you that. Spent all of his life in South America running children back and forth between countries. Amen. Amen. That's what you ain't got time to learn Latin while you're trafficking children. So, but here's the dunce standing there in front of the door. Listen, hundreds of thousands of people outside. Can't even see what's going on. They're just outside. I guess they're waiting to hear the latches on the door click. And here's all these people, all these bishops from all over the world, and they're standing around this door looking at them in awe at this dunce. And they could have been at Kentucky Fried Chicken that whole time, enjoying themselves, doing something constructive, like eating chicken legs, original recipe. They could have been eating that extra crunchy junk, and it would have still been better than sitting around watching an idiot closing a door. And now, we will close the door. Wait, first we must open the door. Is the suspense killing you yet? And people go, oh! Oh, thank God. Thank God. Thank God just an old country boy preacher come by one day and started witnessing to you. So simple, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And you don't need no faggot in a dress doing nothing for you. All you got to do is just get on your knees and say, Lord, I'd like to come in the doors of mercy today. So come right in, son. Come right in. Come right in. Praise the Lord. Give him thanks for the things you've already got. Amen. Lord, we do thank you tonight for your goodness and for your mercy. What a wonderful program you've put together for us. And sometimes things get hard and we're going to need a little patience. We're going to need a little long suffering to get us through these things. But oh my God, I pray that you'd help us to attain to these things. Help us to walk worthy. Help us to walk worthy, God, as the scripture said. And then Lord, help us while we're going through the hardships and the trials, help us just to say thank you for what we've already got, because what we've already got is much better than silver and gold. And we'll thank you, oh God, for what you do for us. In Jesus Christ's name we ask these things. Amen. Amen. Thank you for coming tonight. You are dismissed.